Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast for Tuesday, April 28th, 2009. We're Stephen and Brooksine Weber. We prepared this message on a beautiful Tuesday morning here in rural Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, USA. Our ministry is Daily Encouragement. Today we want to both encourage and challenge you with a message that is a follow-up to yesterday's, titled The Tyranny of the New, Part 2. The scripture text is Jeremiah 6, verse 16.
This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it.
Yesterday's message dealt with the obsession our society has with the new. Well, I tend not to be an early adopter, that is, embracing the new as soon as it comes out. I figure someone else can do the testing. However, if you visit our home, you will see that we indeed have indoor plumbing and electricity, something relatively new in human history, along with a lot of other new stuff unique to our generation. But today we want to consider the tyranny of the new in regard to the church. As we write this, I'm sure there are those who will quickly dismiss us as like an old-fashioned couple in their mid-50s. But please, hear us out. Our concern is not the adoption of the new. Really, hasn't every generation done that to varying degrees? In fact, here in Lancaster County, with the influence of the Plain People, we have a very colorful history of church disputes among the brethren in regard to what degree to adopt the new. Some of their issues are now dealing with the use of cell phones and computers, especially the interface with the internet. A faithful reader in this series has been an old or Amish man who has an email account at work. He is the one I send music to on his cell phone, voicemail, which I refer to as my Amish music ministry.
Our church uses PowerPoint, and we've learned, Stephen has learned to prepare his sermons for projection. And, of course, I prepare the music using a lot of PowerPoint. Just like the famous conference speakers and the many groups that are out there singing as well. We sing a mixture of new and old, or what is often referred to as a blended service. But most churches now want to be identified as contemporary, whatever that really means. Wouldn't most churches in 1900 or at any other time during their existence have been contemporary?
Well, my annoyance at the contemporary church is not the embracing of the new, something I feel has been done all through history, but rather the tendency to devalue and disparage the old. Among so many I encounter, a snobby attitude toward older music particularly, such as hymns, or even music written within the past 25 years. In fact, now, Bill Gaither music is considered old. I was visiting with a friend after Easter who attends a self-identified contemporary church in our area. He's my age and has a history in the church. I asked him about the service. Did you sing some of those great Easter songs like He Lives or Christ the Lord is Risen Today? He told me, oh no, we just sang new choruses. Well, I asked if they sang any songs dealing with the resurrection. He told me they sang an old song from 1999 that he thought might have had something to do with the resurrection. Now that's sad.
I don't think that this church is that untypical. Many churches of our day view any use of the old as a turnoff. We recently visited a church that is aiming to go entirely contemporary in style. They previously had two services, with one being a traditional service. The brochure stated that they would be singing all new choruses with the band, but would periodically include a hymn, but assured the congregation that the hymn would be sung in a modern arrangement.
It's almost like they would not want anybody to think they would dare sing a hymn the way we used to sing it. Well, do young people realize the great heritage we have through 2,000 years of church history? Do the new among us realize that our faith is not a new thing, but rather a continuation of the faithful? Well, here's how one typical church, contemporary church, describes itself.
Celebration worship times are 9 o'clock and 10:15. We're not big on doing church the traditional way. So dress casual and come worship God in a relaxed, contemporary, and informal setting. Gather your family around a table, have coffee or juice, and a treat while one of the bands, Down to Earth and Alter Ego, play uplifting and contemporary music. The sermons are short, practical, and positive. The entire worship service is approximately 45 minutes.
Well, actually, since so many churches now describe themselves similar to this above example, they are by no means distinct, although we find it amusing that each acts as if they are offering something new and original. Essentially, it seems to me that there is widespread competition to see who can be the newest, or as one article stated, to be trendier than thou. A dreaded moniker among many of my pastoral peers is to be labeled old-fashioned.
I enjoy singing new songs, which we do, but I also enjoy singing old ones. I prefer singing them to the original words with which the hymn writer wrote and in the same tune, not changed to try to be relevant, although on occasion this can be enjoyable as well.
Relevance is another buzzword that we'll have to wait for another message. I don't recall as a young pastor seeking to prepare irrelevant messages, and I don't believe my peers did either. Well, Bible truth is always relevant. It's never irrelevant. My message is for young, middle-aged, and old. I don't segment the congregation by age, but the contemporary church acts as if relevant messages are a brand new thing for the present generation.
God called the kingdom of Judah to ask for ancient paths. Today, the last thing most people have any interest in are the ancient paths. Our culture is obsessed with the lure of the new. For so many, the ancient paths have no appeal at all and are generally scoffed at.
Well, the prophet went on to say, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. I believe the meaning here is spiritual, and a call to obedience is found in God's holy law. This is the good way, and by walking in it, one will truly find rest for the soul. Similarly, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. But many then, and so many today, emphatically declare, we will not walk in it.
We need to appreciate the ancient paths and those who walk faithfully in them. We must commit our lives to be obedient servants to Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the entire infallible, authoritative Bible, and to the great example set for us by scores of dedicated, sold-out believers throughout the ages of the Bible and the church.
Well, in a moment, Brooksine is going to say a prayer, but in summarizing the scripture verse used today, I will rephrase it as a prayer. I stand at the crossroads and look. I ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and by God's grace, I choose to walk in it and accept your promise that I will find rest for my soul.
Let's pray together. Father, we look to those who've gone before us, who've walked the ancient paths, and remain faithful to your principles as they have served you. We all come to the crossroads at various age intervals in our earthly walk, and we must choose which path we'll take. Help us to be careful of the untested path that disregards all that our forefathers taught us, either by their example or, in some instances, their lack of wisdom or self-control. We thank you for all that you have for us now, and for that which is carefully handed down to us from our Christian ancestors. May we honor you in the way that we choose to honor them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us. It is indeed a longer message today. We had it heavily upon our heart, actually, for several days. I've had this message on my heart with that title, The Tyranny of the New, how it's a form of tyranny to always feel like we have to be new. And I think a lot of my pastoral peers and church lay people feel that as well. Thank God for the ancient past and for the old ways. Well, our website is dailyencouragement.net. This is the message we have prepared for Tuesday, April 28th, 2009. We welcome you to visit our site today. There is a photo of a little white country church that I went to as a child when I visited my grandparents in Harwood, Missouri, the very church my mother grew up in, and sadly a church that I believe has since been closed down, like so many country churches. But we also have a number of resources today, a couple of suggested songs related to the message, and then a number of just articles and blog posts that further elaborate on the concern that I shared regarding the contemporary church. I want to summarize with a thought that I felt the Lord gave me in the message, and that is not an opposition to the new. We certainly embrace the new. We use new technology. We sing some new songs. We can use some new preaching messages, but rather the real concern is the attitude that people have of both a disparaging and a devaluing of the old, and that's what we don't want to do. I want to thank God that I'm a part of a church that's been established for 2,000 years since Jesus sent His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Have a blessed day. Continue to stay faithful to Christ.